listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 225 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. Sean, where are you?
We're in your office.
We're together?
Aren't we? Yeah.
We sat right by each other for the first time in a while.
I'm used to just hearing this voice come through the headphones.
I know, and there's, well, hopefully less to go wrong as well. I've had fun editing some of the shows recently.
I've heard bad things.
Really? you should have been in my position last week trying to edit bits together. Hey-ho, hopefully it didn't sound
lots
too bad.
Lots of fun,
yeah. We're talking about how to be a supportive partner today, aren't we?
Yeah, which we know all about.
We are both experts in that as well. That is the topic for the week. We'll come on to that shortly. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look for all the show notes and links, this and previous episodes. Put your email address in the box as well, and we'll send you alerts as soon as an episode comes online, and you get some free meditation files as well.
Yeah.
Not bad, eh?
Very good.
How are you doing? What's going
Very
on?
Very good. Good and bad. Good and bad. Had to have a shout-out for Mally, who died over the weekend, who was a good family mate, and I know there's loads of people that will listen to this.
And
it was a bit unexpected, but we knew that she had an illness, and that's had a huge effect on our family in a big way.
She was awesome, Mally, wasn't she? Yeah.
Yeah, and she worked. She was a union rep for years.
Oh, right, okay.
And there are lots and lots of people whose lives she affected very positively. That will be feeling that now.
Yeah.
Good news is I've nearly finished our Live in the Present self-help anxiety pack, which should be ready to go up on site.
Coming at you. Is this the thing we mentioned a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
In time.
Yeah, I'm almost done now.
In time for Mental Health Week or something?
Yeah,
or?
Mental Health Month is October.
Right, the whole month?
Well, it's the 10th of October is Mental Health Day.
Okay.
So we're going to be working around that. But because the majority of people that have mental health or stress issues, it's anxiety, that's where we've started.
Okay.
So it should be good.
Well, yeah, if you're on the email list, you'll be one of the first to hear about it. So watch this space. All good for me, no complaints. Finally went go-karting again for the first time. Remember when we used to record these and every weekend I'd talk about
I've been racing. So why did you stop?
My buddy that I do it with went abroad for a year working. And then he's been back for a long time, but just life, man, kids and work and all that stuff. Finally found a free weekend, the cart was ready to go. We took it out, I forgot how good it was, man.
Did you win?
Well, no, we were just racing against ourselves.
Oh, well, you won
against the clock, so we did win.
That's good.
Yeah, but flipping heck, it's a simple little machine, but you can't believe how many things can go wrong on it. Tiny little accelerated cable popped off like the first time we went out, and that was us done for 20 minutes trying to fix that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Good fun. Yeah, good it teaches fun. You a lot. We'll come on to the episode then. We actually had an email from a listener, which if you're out there and you'd like us to talk about anything, do drop us a line. We had a few suggestions from this listener, one of which was about how to be a supportive partner.
I was thinking about that when we were just talking about earlier on, because there's the other side of that, isn't it? It's like if you're struggling and you need your partner to be supportive.
Yeah.
It's both sides of
the hopefully point, we can come at it from both angles, I was thinking. Anyway, I'm not sure the listener which side of the coin they were on, but it works both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So what are some basics, Sean? What should we start with?
Listening is a good one. Yeah, do we actually listen to each other?
Yeah, are you a good listener? You better I be.
I think one of the problems, it's a bit like if you're a decorator. You know, the last thing you want to decorate is your own house, because by the time you've gone home, you're sick to death of decorating. And I think that there can be issues when you're into, especially hardline therapy, where it's easier to go home and kind of not share sometimes because you're overloaded with stuff. And I think that's always a balance. And if you're both therapists like we are, then that can be tough sometimes, because sometimes you need support because you've had a really tough day. Mm-hmm. And there's times when you just need to stop. And it's getting that balance right as well, which is an ongoing learning curve.
And I guess now more than ever, people have always worked hard, haven't they? But work is 24/7 now, isn't it, with emails pinging in all the time.
Yep.
I don't know, from my perspective, when you've been at work all day and you've got the kids to bed, etc., yada, yada.
I was just reading a bit of research while you were in the loo just then.
Oh, yeah.
Which was about...
Thanks for announcing that, so
about how all these meditation apps on your phones are actually making people stressed. Oh. Because they keep sending these reminders and stuff.
Alerts, and you're ignoring them and stuff.
And they're saying how much of that is more stressful than relaxing.
Yeah. Okay.
And one of the criticisms was against Headspace that you and I both give a shout for, which is good.
Yeah, you've mentioned Headspace many a time. Well, we've been talking about it since the start, but that's some huge company. Now, it would be actually good to speak to... Is it Andy?
Andy, yeah. Andy Padicombe.
Padicombe, who's the chief exec or whatever. He's probably got some crazy...
Yeah.
Really, really cool job title now, isn't he? But it's a huge company now, Headspace.
Yeah.
So I wonder how that's affected how he's managed to build that huge, building this huge company into his life.
Lots of purists that are into Dharma and Karma, Dharma being positive action, really rail against things like Headspace because they go away from that initial ideal of being... this thing that's there for everybody to being a money-making venture and whether you can actually sell things like meditation and still be Dharma, which is one of the issues we had with Chris, wasn't it, who's a very clear Buddhist, and the conflicts between can you be in business and be a Dharmic Buddhist as well.
Indeed. Coming back to being a supportive partner... There's loads of things I've got to get through. There's a few articles I will link to or in the show notes as well. You've talked about listening being an important part.
But also listening and sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be prepared to make that a two-way thing. And if you're the person who comes in and hunkers down whilst your partner's going blah, 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 about their day, it can be a very sort of unbalanced thing.
Yeah, there's a difference between someone offloading their... stresses from the day and actually taking that on board and offering advice or trying to I don't know what the word is,
support. And one of the things is about when we're sharing, and men particularly aren't good at sharing what they're feeling. They can share practically what happened, this happened today, but how does that make you feel? And that's the bit that we get a bit deficient in, whereas the girl is much more likely to be sharing the feelings, and it's okay for them.
Yeah, indeed. There's one of the points in... Which one was it? It was the website was aterriblehusband.com. I wanted to mention that because I liked the... That was a great domain name. I wish I'd bought that domain name.
Well, for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, just links straight to my Instagram feed. Nine steps becoming supportive partner... well, that doesn't make sense, that URL, at all. Anyway, it's a great list of things. Talk about listening.
So this is for bad husbands to read?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It talks about being selfless, that word selfless. I think that's an important one to mention.
I don't know about selfless.
You don't reckon?
Because selfless to me is a kind of an odd abstract concept, because all the people that I know that have been apparently selfless, some very spiritual people, when you get down to it with them and you say, okay, what's that about? And why do you do that? And they say they do that because it makes them feel good. And like the issues of like selflessness, it's almost as though if the things that I do that make me feel good benefit other people, then that's seen as a positive act.
Yeah, so actually being selfless, like in like concentrating on that, is actually selfish. So you should have just been selfish in the first place.
Well, what I'm saying is that the concept doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if your well-being is important to me, I'm actually quite selfish about it because I want you to be well. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And it's an odd concept. I get what they mean, but it's like.
Yeah, we have this phrase, there's no I in team, and we're funny as human beings, aren't we? Because we have long-term partners, whatever the setup is. And sometimes it's good to kind of acknowledge that team, isn't it? Sometimes people get married, sometimes they make, I don't know, they may have some other kind of ceremony.
Yeah. I had read a scary statistic today. Well, it was quoted at me, shown to me. In our society now, you're more likely to get cancer than get married.
Okay, that's a cheery one.
Yeah, that's right.
Really. So less people are getting married. But it's not like less people are having long-term relationships. It's not like we're all just flitting around.
Yeah, it's one night stands. It's the formality of marriage, whether that's civil or religious. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you think it's important to kind of make that concrete contract with someone?
I think that you can do that by walking naked around an oak tree if that's what it does for you. You know what I mean? I think that the ritualization and the formality is useful because it makes a statement, it draws a line. Mm. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a church or a town hall or a registry office. It can be whatever's relevant to you.
Yeah. There's another site that I've linked to called thegoodmenproject.com. So apologies if it's a little male-focused, but it flips both ways, and I think but it's a cool site. But it starts off with this kind of little story anecdote about a husband who wants to be more supportive with his wife, or I'm not sure if it's partners or whatever, but he's kind of getting a bit sick of the kind of minutiae of life and how he feels like his wife is a bit too over the top with the support and the questions and phoning up at lunchtime to see what he wants for dinner, and he's kind of got to the point where he just doesn't care almost.
But is that her supporting him? Mm. Or is he saying that him listening to her is supporting her? Was it both ways?
Both ways, I think. Yeah. But how independent should we be? What's the goal here?
Well, there's a guy called Carlyle Gilbrand who wrote a book called The Prophet, big thing back in the 60s and the 70s, and he's an Eastern poet, but they in the book of the Prophet they say, okay, tell us about these things. So they ask him about relationships, and he has this wonderful phrase where he says, you should be far enough apart to allow the winds of heaven to dance between you.
Oh.
That you shouldn't actually lean on each other, you know. You should be supportive but not be a burden.
And you kind of you have your elastic analogy, don't you?
Yeah.
Is that a different a play on it?
Yeah, but the magic about having emotional elastic is as you go apart for the day, it pulls you back together. You get that positive emotion.
But if you stretch it too far,
it snaps.
It snaps or gets a bit.
Yeah, or if you get
droopy in the middle.
Yeah, so you get complacent, and there's no pull in the elastic, and you have to do a bit of work to get the tension back in the elastic to feel that pull.
Yeah. Is it often a case that we need to kind of build confidence in your partner, whether it's the male or the female side, so they are independent, so that you can be apart and still snap back to each other?
I think that very often it's the other end of that. It's not so much building confidence as don't take away someone's confidence, don't undermine them.
Yeah,
you know, don't tell them that they're too fat, that they look like a bag of crap or whatever. It's like build confidence, feed the positive, not the negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And we know as fellas that if a lady comes along and says, what does my bum look like in this? What do you say?
Just run a mile.
Yeah. But it's that kind of thing. It would be so easy to make it sound negative or to sound positive, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
And it can be heard either way, because if you say, well, you look very curvy in that, unless you think I'm fat, then it can be quite a difficult conversation, but it's saying things that don't take away people's confidence.
Mm.
Yeah, feeding the positive, but don't feed the negative.
Yep.
Yeah, which is so easy to do for people.
Do you build any time into your life with Bree for having a laugh, for having a good old?
Well, we go away quite a lot.
I've noticed.
We do that deliberately, and that is magical time when there's just us, and that's good. And we do try and build in like date time. You know, which sometimes we're very good at that, and sometimes we lose track of it, and it just depends on what's going on around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for you with kids, and I think that that's a problem, isn't it? That you're a couple and you're looking after each other, and then children come along, and that just changes the whole dynamic. You know, is it still possible to support each other in the same way?
Mm.
And our needs for support change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good fun. I mean, I had an opportunity recently when, for Bethan's birthday, I wanted to get her a present where we would go away for the weekend and have a weekend to ourselves. In the end, I decided to do it with the kids so that we could all be together as a family rather than palming them off on the grandparents, which we do plenty of.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we're quite dead lucky there. But yeah, we had a weekend away with the kids instead, and went to Llandudno, got a nice hotel, beautiful summer's day, etc. And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And we all had a hoot, we all had a laugh, we all learned together and shared in the experience together.
That's cool.
I don't remember shouting and screaming at the kids too much. So but yeah, building in a bit of time for laughter was one of the points I saw on the...
Yeah, on my list I put fun.
Ah, yes.
You know, it's like, how often do we have fun?
Yeah.
And it is so easy with the stresses and pressures of life. And everyone, that's an enormous statement, the majority of people that I'm talking to at the moment are expressing deep levels of anxiety globally. Trumpy and North Korea comes up every day with people.
Yeah.
And people are saying, do you think we're going to have a nuclear? Is it going to be? And it's a big thing for people that's building.
I wasn't around in the old Cuban Missile Crisis. What year was that? How old?
It was 60, isn't it?
Okay, so you were then youngish, but I don't know if you remember that time and the whole Cold War thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That was similar then, or if it's more.
It was dead simple.
Now.
They were moving the weapons to Cuba, and it was Kennedy, wasn't it? He said, made it very clear that if you don't turn your boats around, they're going to blow them out of the water. And they did turn the boats around and went.
Got pretty close, didn't it, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have built this these systems, technology that's heightening all that, isn't it? And amplifying everything because everyone's connected all the time. We've got phones in this office all buzzing every 30 minutes with news alerts. People are dying, things are happening. Like, do we need to know? I need to switch that off, actually. I only got the BBC News alert when I had my watch for some reason because I wanted just to experiment with it and see what it was like. And I haven't worn the watch in 6 months because I smashed it. And I haven't switched the alert off on my phone yet, so I need to do that.
Well, I had an alert come up about the Trump thing, and it was a guy from LA who was saying that he assumed that if anything did go off, that he'd be in ground zero, and that was probably a good place to be because all you'd see was a flash, and that'd be it.
Yeah. Done. You wouldn't have to deal with the fallout of all the breakdown of human civilization.
Yeah. but it's becoming an anxiety stressor for so many people.
Yeah.
Huge.
Well, that's right. Maybe we're talking on a partner level here. I do worry about that stuff, and I'm just plugged into the news all the time, despite all advice that we give in this podcast. I'm on Twitter and all that 24/7, pretty much, feels like. But Beth, and my wife, isn't at all, which is cool for her. But does she know that I'm kind of secretly a bit nervous about all this stuff? Because I don't tell her.
No.
She asks me about the news every now and again, and I'll try and explain what's going on.
So what's your fear? What are you worried about?
I'm not really scared about nuclear war. I don't think we'll get that far. But I do read a lot about kind of the subversion of democracy and how much I see it online every day in the comments on Twitter, that you can tell which of the users are kind of not really British patriots that are kind of arguing for Brexit and trying to get Islam out. You can just tell, you click through to their feed and you can just tell that they're swapping between stories and there's something weird going on there.
If you look at it from a political news point of view, I think one of the scariest events that's happened at the moment is that in Germany we've got between 90 and 100, it's not finished yet, right-wing politicians back into the Bundestag, is it?
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
So that we are back into that fascistic, I mean, no one would call them Nazis these days, I guess, but we're back into that kind of right-wing extremism, which is growing again. It is what happened before all the wars, you know, so who knows?
Way back when, but I'm pretty cool about it, but I do worry a little bit, because it's one of them, it's like, are my kids going to have to fight the war, or am I going to have to do it for them, or what? Crazy.
My philosophy is not fatalistic, but it's, I believe that we have the creativity to work with whatever happens.
Yeah.
So whatever the universe presents us with, we've got the ability to cope with it, whether that's for our kids or for us, or whether our kids have to face it.
Getting back onto the topic, support can mean different things to different people, depending on personality. So support for one person might be an arm around the shoulder and an inspirational chat, but for another person it might be just to allow them a day or two on their own, or just something to kind of just give them a bit of space, can't it? So I guess that's a question of how well you know your partner.
I think the
how
whole,
well they know you, sorry.
The whole issue about, you know, do you spend time apart, do you spend time together? Lots of couples have holidays on their own, or go off with different groups of people with holidays, that kind of thing. And there's no rules about that.
Yeah.
I know when I go off to Qatar, Ria and I are always kind of texting and doing FaceTime and stuff. We do miss each other when we're not there.
Which is a good sign.
Yeah.
You'd be worried if you didn't, I guess.
Yeah. and it's good to come home, you know.
Yeah.
Good.
There's another point on one of the sites I'm going to link to about building your dreams together to try and have this, a shared goal. Because we all have our personal goals, don't we, in business, in life, or whatever. Maybe you want that. You were looking at Apple Watch Series 3, weren't you? That's one of your personal goals.
Yeah. I don't know about the Series 3. It might be a Series 2.
Thinking about it. Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll leave that one open. But maybe it's good to have a shared goal, something you can both work on that you can have spend some time planning out.
But that idea, you know, when we did the book about writing a speech for your 100th birthday, you know, what do you want to hear?
Yep.
Yeah, we've been doing the same thing for 10 years. Where are we going to be in 10 years? What are we going to do? One of the things that came over in the email that you presented at the beginning from that guy was the idea that how do you support a partner? Maybe they are chronically disabled with, I don't know, ME, MS, anxiety, phobias, you know, whatever. And that seemed to be one of the big things that was the feeling that I got from what was being shared in the email.
Yeah, okay.
And for me in that, it's the issue of, yes, we need to understand each other, we need to support each other, but sometimes we have to go outside of the relationship. We have to go to, you know, friends, family, doctor, therapist, whatever, because we're too in it. We can't see the wood for the trees kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I think that it's important to know when you need to go and say help to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
It was easier in the past with big extended families, but we haven't got that anymore. So we do have to go outside of the group
to get a bit of help.
Support sometimes, yeah. And it's important not to feel lots of families kind of hunker down and don't share, and they suffer in silence within.
Yeah, I know. We all have friends or family that we see online on Facebook that are crying out for help every day. You know, you can just tell from the way they write their updates or the pictures they put on that they need help, but we're not all confident enough to say, or we can't all say, can we?
And there's the reverse of that, isn't there? How many people are on media telling what a wonderful time they're having, and you know they're not?
Oh, yeah.
That's the other side, isn't it?
Yeah.
Honesty.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Sure, yeah. But the whole idea of if people are in those states, those emotional states, the first thing they do is they stop, they hunker down, you know, go to bed, stay in bed. People can build sleep patterns of 14, 18 hours a day, you know, when they start to get really down. And the importance of shortening sleep pattern, getting your body moving, or encouraging your partner to get their body moving, go for a walk, go and do something, just walk around the block, you know, get it moving. And that's a kind of a gentle push or a gentle pull where you're trying to get your partner out of that mood state, but without doing it in a hard way that makes them recoil and makes the problem worse.
Yeah, you don't have to go run a marathon, do you, or a tough mudder event.
Yeah, nice and gentle. Yeah, but get moving. If you move your body, then your brain chemistry changes and you feel better.
Yeah, I found that when we had our first kid, it's pretty full on when you've got a little baby for the first time. Good fun and all that, but we had this little routine every day at 5 o'clock or after when we got back in from work. We'd go for a walk just with the pram. Yeah. We'll snoring away in the pram. And it was just a good way every day to get some fresh air because he was born in the winter.
Yeah.
And just to chat about stuff as well.
Yeah.
Really.
So do you feel that your life is fun?
Yeah, for sure. What are you laughing at, man? By me? Yeah. I do know. I was actually looking at my... That's quite a cool thing about phones. Well, there's many cool things about them, but I was looking through my last few months' worth of photos just to try and find a picture from way back when. Or I've taken a picture of some work that I needed to do, and I needed to find it. And I was scrolling back through like 3 months worth of pictures, and I've done loads of stuff. Like my Twitter and Instagram feed kind of sort of jokingly say richest man in the world, but when you look I look back through it, you know, I am really.
What do you think about that? The app that tells you what you were doing a year ago.
Time Hop.
Turns out it was Time Hop.
Oh, yeah, I love Time Hop. Yeah. I lost my streak the other day or a few months ago. But yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Build up quiet. There's certain things that I see posts I put on Facebook 10 years ago that make me cringe a little bit. Like, what was I thinking? I think it's Alain de Botton, the writer, philosopher. Mm-hmm. He says, if you're not like embarrassed about who you were a year ago, you're not working hard enough, basically.
So you're working hard.
So yeah, I'm working really hard. What about you?
Yeah, no, my life's good. My life's fun. Yeah, there's times when it's stressed and pressured.
Yeah.
But no, it's okay. It's all right. It's a case of keeping your eye on the ball.
Yeah.
And staying with it. Easy to get lost.
You've got a supportive partner that can pick up on these little cues there and just say... Yeah. Just pull you back in every now and again.
When we're good, we're very, very good.
Have you got a resource of the week?
Have I got a resource of the week? That I go back to in this, because I like it, is there's a podcast called Anxiety Slayer.
Wow, okay.
Which is good for tuning into. Got a lot of good input in there.
Marvellous. I have heard of that, but I haven't listened to it certainly in a while. But I'll stick it in the show notes. Mine is goodmenproject.com, which is a site I just came across looking this up. It's obviously aimed at men, but I'm sure it would be more than useful for women
I went on those two sites that you were talking about, assuming they were aimed at men, I wonder how many men would actually be motivated to go and look at it.
And read them. Or maybe it's women trying to, mainly a female readership trying to get their heads around what we're doing.
Go and have a listen. Go and have a listen.
Yeah, I'm right. Well done.
Yeah, I'm done.
Liveinthepresent.co.uk. Check it out for all the show notes and links, and far more besides. 224 previous episodes all available there as well. Not bad, eh?
Yeah, and keep watching, because the anxiety self-help will be there very soon.
It's coming. Sign up. Oh yeah, and don't forget the book, Live in the Present, the book as well.
Yeah, change your life.
It'll change your life for sure.
Change mine.
Right, Sean, you have a good week.
And you take care.
See you next time.
See ya. Bye.